Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I'll be talking about the problem of a mixed religion. And the particular text that we'll begin with is in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41. So if you'd like to follow along, you can turn at this time to that passage. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41. So these nations feared the Lord and served the graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. To understand, of course, the meaning of that verse, you have to kind of back up a little further in the chapter and begin in verse 24. And verse 24 mentions the king of Assyria, and he says he brought men from Babylon and then names about four or five other places. He brought them into the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt there. The policy of the Assyrians as they conquered nations was to take the people that they conquered and remove them from that land and take them somewhere else. And so we read in the Old Testament concerning the Jews of the Assyrian captivity, in which the Israelites, the northern kingdom, was taken into Assyrian captivity. And then a little bit later, the Babylonian captivity as they were taken from Judah into Babylon, into captivity. But not only did they take people out of the land, they brought others back into the land. And that's what's happening here. The northern king of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, they have been taken from Samaria. And this verse says that there was brought back into Samaria people from Babylon and other places named, and they were settled in the cities of Samaria. And then as the story continues in the chapter, lions began to kill the people. And so they decided the problem was they did not understand about the God of the land. And so we read in verse 26, "Wherefore they spake unto the king of Syria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, they know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath set lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land," that is, of Jehovah God. And so the king sent a priest to teach them about Jehovah God. And verse 28 and 29 says this, "Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and brought and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their city wherein they dwell." And then that whole idea is developed in the next several verses. Verse 33, for example, says, "They feared the Lord and served their own gods." And then back to verse 41 again, the text where we started. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. The problem is that they had a mixed religion. These people learned about Jehovah God and how they were supposed to worship Jehovah God, and did so to a certain extent at least. But at the same time, they had their own idols from the various nations of which they had come, and they built places of worship to those idols and set them up and worshiped them. They worshiped Jehovah God on the one hand, but they mixed into that and worshiped their idols on the other hand. This just is not acceptable. God had said back in Exodus chapter 20, giving of the Ten Commandments, He had said very clearly, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And then the next verse, he said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." And then he pointed out the reason why, because the Lord thy God is a jealous God. God required that he be worshipped and he alone. And so a mixed religion in which they worshipped Jehovah God and at the same time were worshipping the idols from the various nations of which they came, that simply was not acceptable. It was a mixed religion, and God is never pleased with a mixed religion. I want us to notice some other examples of this same thing, but coming into the New Testament. I want us to notice something about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so if you have your Bible and want to turn to the book of Matthew, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is speaking to His disciples and says this in verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now at first His disciples were puzzled as to exactly what Jesus meant. They got to thinking, you know, we didn't bring any bread with us, and so Jesus is concerned that we might go hungry. And Jesus understood their thoughts. And so He rebuked them. He said, don't you remember the 5,000 that I fed with just a few loaves and the baskets full of fragments that you took up? Don't you remember the 4,000 that I fed with just a few loaves and a few fishes? And the amount of food that was left over? Why do you think that I'm talking about the leaven of bread? I'm not concerned about bread. And the disciples got the point. And they understood, as it says in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 16. Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The problem is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a mixed religion. They had a mixture of the law of God which had been given to them, the Jewish religion, but they also had a mixture of their own thoughts and religious practices, and that would not be acceptable. Now think about the perfection of Jesus' illustration here when He refers to their doctrine as leaven. Leaven or yeast as it works in the dough. What happens? Well, you have the dough, and then you insert the leaven or the yeast and you work it. And when you get through, what do you have? You still have dough. But it's a little different. It rises. It changes. The leaven that is inserted is not, it doesn't cease to, it's still dough. But it is different. Jesus used that as an illustration of what the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees had done. The Pharisees, for example, they believed the Old Testament. In fact, the beginning of the Pharisee movement was an effort to return to the law of God as given in the Old Testament. And they were very zealous for it. But then they added to that some of their own thoughts, doctrines, ideas, and practices in religion. And when they got through, you could still recognize this as the Jewish religion, because they followed the forms and they still worshiped Jehovah, but it was a little different. Just like the dough was different after the leaven was inserted. It was a little different. Jesus warned against that because a mixed religion is simply not acceptable to God. The same thing was true with regard to the Sadducees. They took the Jewish religion and then they had their doctrines and their theories a little different from the Pharisees, and they inserted that into the Old Testament religion, and they still were basically Jewish in the religion. But it was a little bit different. Jesus warned His disciples about mixing. He warned them against the doctrine of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then we come a little further over to the New Testament. We turn to the book of Galatians. And there are a group of people that are referred to as the Judaizers. That's a name that's been coined with regard to them. And in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes to these people and says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The problem here is that these teachers, these Judaizing teachers is the name that's usually given to them, that these teachers were still teaching the gospel of Christ. But it was a mixed gospel. It was perverted. It was changed. They had inserted some of their own ideas from the Jewish religion. And so, in many respects, they were teaching Christianity. They believed in God. They believed in Jesus Christ. They had been baptized. And they were worshiping to a great extent according to the pattern as laid down in the New Testament. But they inserted the practice of circumcision from the Jewish religion. And they inserted certain other regulations and rules of the law of Moses into the Christian religion. Theirs was a mixed religion. And the Apostle Paul, as an inspired apostle, wrote to the Galatians and warned them against these Judaizing teachers. Do not follow them, because they're teaching Christianity, yes, but a mixed form of Christianity, a corrupt or perverted form of Christianity, because they had inserted much of the law of Moses into the Christian religion. Then you turn over just a little bit further to the book of Colossians, and there are a group of people dealt with here by the Apostle Paul in chapter 2 and verse 8, and they're usually referred to as the Colossian heretics. Since there's no better name to give them, with the Colossian heresy. The Apostle Paul says this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What was wrong at Colossae? Well, again, it's the same problem. They had a mixed religion. They had Christianity. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in God. They'd been baptized. They worshipped according to some of the teachings of Christ and the apostles. They would be recognized very easily as Christians. But it was a mixed Christianity, because whereas the Judaizing teachers had mixed the law of Moses in with Christianity and corrupted it, the Colossian heretics had mixed Greek philosophy. And that's what he's warning about in these verses. The philosophy, some of the philosophies of the Greek world and some of their religious practices, they had been inserted into Christianity. And so the Apostle Paul writes it. And I just wanted to notice those several cases, and you could, of course, find more in the Bible if you look. I just wanted to notice those cases from the Old Testament, where they had a mixed religion. From Jesus, when he condemned the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, a mixed religion. Galatians, in which they were Christians, but a mixed Christianity. The Colossians, but they were Christians, but it was a mixed Christianity. And in all of those cases, it's made very clear that God was not pleased. That's a principle that runs throughout the Scripture. And that is that if you're going to properly serve God, you cannot mix in other things, but you must have pure Christianity. And then we take a look then at the world today. And what we see, and the reason we have so many different religious organizations in the world today, is because, not that they're not Christian, but it is a mix. And that's the problem. Very clearly recognized as Christian, in one sense of the word, but mixed. And that is the problem. And I won't try to name all of the things that people have mixed into the Christian religion today, but I want to mention some of them. One thing which is very much a part of our world is denominational organization. The power structure in the Bible for the church is very clear. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And it was the inspired apostles and prophets that wrote the doctrine and the rules and the regulations for the practice of the church. And each congregation was autonomous or independent and had its own elders and its own deacons. And that's the organization of the church you read about it in the New Testament. Very clearly laid out. And there's no such thing in the New Testament as a denominational organization. That is, a network of churches under some central organization that has power. And it makes rules, writes creeds, makes rules for a group of congregations. No such thing. It's a mix. Recognized certainly as, in many respects, as Christians. Belief in God, belief in Christ, and many religious practices that you find in the New Testament, but mixed in is the denominational network or organization, which is not seen at all in Christianity as laid out by Jesus and the apostles. Another thing that you see very frequently in the world today is infant baptism. Now, the way that started is this. There was a time, and I don't know that people believe this now, but there was a time in which the religious world began to believe that when a little baby was born, they were born damned. And that if a baby that was born into this world died, it would go to hell, or at least to a place similar to hell. And so they decided that if that be the case, we were to baptize them just as quickly as we can. And so they began baptizing infants. Nothing like that in the New Testament. The Bible does not teach that infants are born, lost, and will, if they die in infancy, will be eternally lost. The Bible doesn't teach that. And the Bible does not teach or ever show an example of the baptizing of infants. That's not a part of Christianity. But in the world today, in Christendom today, there are many who are following a great deal of what is taught in the New Testament, but they have inserted. They have a mixed religion. They have inserted infant baptism. Also, we might mention sprinkling, which is usually done and named baptism. There's nothing in the New Testament about sprinkling instead of immersion. The Bible says very, very specifically, buried with him in baptism. But there was a time in history in which they began to think that it would be more convenient to sprinkle and pour water on a person rather than completely immerse them. And that has been inserted by some into the Christian religion. And one thing that we have seen arise in our day, it was sort of on the fringes prior to our lifetime, but the idea of the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. And we hear that all the time. That if a person wants to be saved from the sins and become a Christian, they need to pray the sinner's prayer. And that's the way you become a Christian. That's the way you're saved. You don't find that in the Bible. In the Bible, you find Jesus saying, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Or the Apostle Peter, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." So people have inserted the sinner's prayer. And many times when an invitation is given, people are invited to pray the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. It's a mix. Not a part of original Christianity. We, of course, here sing a cappella. That is, we sing church music. We sing without an instrument of music. That's church music. But many in the world today have inserted into Christianity the use of an organ and now even band into the Christian worship. And you can go on with your list. We won't name any more. But I just want to notice the principle. The principle from both the Old Testament, from the teachings of Jesus himself, and from the teachings of the apostles, is against the idea of a mixed religion. Many in our world today who are recognizable, of course, as basically Christians, in the sense that they believe in God, they believe in Christ, they believe in the Scriptures, they believe in a good moral standard, and they practice many of the things that are taught in the Scriptures, but it's a mixed religion. They serve the Lord and according to the teachings of the New Testament, and also according to some of their own thoughts and ideas. It's a mixed religion. What we try to do here at Southport is to have not a mixed Christianity, but a pure Christianity. Now, we don't claim of that any more than we claim in our own personal lives that we're perfect. We don't claim that we're perfect human beings. And we don't claim that we're totally perfect with regard to everything in religion. We don't claim that. But we do claim this. That's the right goal. That should be every person's ambition. We should spend our lives trying to worship and serve God according to the pure teachings of Jesus Christ and His apostles without any admixture of any of the thoughts and ideas and practices that originate with man. Our goal should always be not a mixed religion, but pure Christianity. And so when we offer the invitation, as we're going to do right now, it's not an invitation for you to come and pray the sinner's prayer. It's not an invitation for you to come and do anything that I might think of or anybody else you might think of. It's an invitation for you to come and be saved exactly according to the teachings of the Scripture. As Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."